So we have an intimate crowd. I'm Phil Zeitler, and I am a professor of pediatrics and chair of the Department of Endocrinology at Children's Hospital Colorado, and professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. And it's my pleasure to be here today to moderate this afternoon's briefing regarding the work of Dr. Kristen Boyle. We've known for a while that the offspring of mothers who have diabetes during pregnancy have long-term effects on development and metabolism. But more recently, these findings have been extended to include mothers who are obese. And Kristen's going to talk to us today about whether or not, or rather, how the programming, the mechanism of the programming that's occurring in the offspring of obese and diabetic moms. The embargo on this study will lift tomorrow, Tuesday, June 9th at 10:15 in the morning. So, as you're going to hear, Dr. Boyle and her team have taken stem cells from umbilical cords of babies of both normal weight and obese mothers, and have studied these cells, both fat and muscle cells, in the laboratory. And these results indicate that the in utero environment may in fact program the offspring's tissues to accumulate excess fat. So a couple of housekeeping things. I want you to know that we are audio taping this briefing, and there may be some folks attending the briefing on the phone. For that reason, I'd like to remind you that that it'll be very important to speak into the microphone and so that the folks on the phone can hear your comments. And for anybody who's on the phone, if you have questions, please let the operator know by pressing *1 on the telephone keypad. And we'll do our best to address your questions during the session. We will entertain questions and answers after Dr. Boyle has had a chance to present her findings. So it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Boyle. Kristen Boyle is currently assistant professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. She is originally from Connecticut. She went to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. It turns out I went to a small school down the street from there, but not the same time. She received her master's degree at Ohio University and her PhD from East Carolina University. In addition to being a member of the Department of Pediatrics, Kristen is also a member of two very important resources at the University of Colorado, the Center for Human Nutrition, as well as the Center for Women's Health Research, which is a unique institution at Colorado focusing on the health of women and their offspring. Kristen.
Thank you, Dr. Zeitler. So the research in my lab focuses on how obesity and pregnancy can impact the disease risk and obesity risk of the babies after they're born. And as Dr. Zeitler said, we know that children born to obese mothers have an increased risk of becoming obese and developing metabolic disease later in life, including type 2 diabetes. But we don't really understand exactly how this occurs. So we used umbilical cord tissue from babies born to normal weight and obese mothers, and we collected the mesenchymal stem cells from this umbilical cord tissue. Now, these mesenchymal stem cells in utero are the stem cells that will eventually become muscle, fat, bone, cartilage, and several other tissue types. We were particularly interested in how these stem cells become fat cells, as it may give insight into how these infants of obese mothers may have increased fat accrual throughout gestation. And we were also interested in how these stem cells would become muscle cells and whether or not there would be metabolic differences in these cells once they became muscle cells. So thus, we investigated whether these mesenchymal stem cells from babies born to obese versus normal weight mothers had an inherent difference in the capacity to become fat cells or to become muscle cells, or whether there were differences in the metabolism once they became muscle cells. So when we first harvest these cells, they actually have a similar fat content in all cells, whether they're from babies of obese or normal weight moms. But once we grow them into fat cells in the lab, we see that the ones from babies from obese moms have a greater fat accumulation, and they have higher content of markers of fat cells, which would indicate that they have a greater propensity to become fat cells. Also, we noticed that the fat accumulation in these cells corresponded to the fat mass of the babies when they were born, meaning that the cells that accumulated more fat in the lab came from the babies that had a higher percent fat mass at birth. Which this suggests that there is an inherent propensity for these stem cells to become fat cells, and it may be one of the mechanisms whereby these babies accrue greater fat mass in utero. When we grew these cells into muscle cells in the lab, we actually didn't find any inherent differences in the capacity to become a muscle cell. But what we did find was that the ability to oxidize fats was lower in the cells from the offspring of the obese moms. Now, we also noticed that when we grew these cells into muscle cells in the lab, these cells also had greater fat accumulation. Even though they weren't fat cells, they had a greater accumulation of fat in the muscle cells as well. But we don't know if this is simply because these cells also have a lower capacity to use the fats, because we saw the lower fat oxidation in the cells, or if they may have greater fat uptake. So we're currently investigating the pathways that would, one, indicate why these cells have a lower ability to use fats, and why they might accumulate more fats even when they're differentiated to muscle cells. And we're also investigating other metabolic pathways, including insulin resistance pathways, in these cells to see if they're altered depending on whether the babies came from normal weight or obese moms. So overall, we found that the mesenchymal stem cells from the umbilical cord tissue of these babies born to obese mothers had this greater propensity to become fat cells. And there appear to be metabolic differences in these cells once they become muscle cells. And these results give us insight into how obesity and pregnancy may impact the growth of the baby in utero, which could eventually give us insight into how certain children born to obese mothers may have increased risk of developing metabolic disease or obesity later in life. And we're going to continue to follow these children out as they grow older to see if we can find additional markers in the stem cells that correlate or correspond to outcomes in the children as they grow older. And hopefully, we eventually hope that we'll be able to use these stem cells to gain insight into how this obesity and pregnancy may affect fetal growth. But also, if we can identify biomarkers from these stem cells, we may actually be able to develop better intervention programs during pregnancy that could help mitigate the effects of obesity on the offspring.
All right, thank you, Kristen. So I would invite any questions from folks in the audience here.
Sarah Pample, Springer Medicine, Germany. How did you make the cells, muscle cells or fat cells?
That is an experimental procedure, so it's not necessarily physiological, but we use hydrocortisone for the muscle cells, which basically induces the cells to grow bigger, which is the main mechanism for inducing them to become muscle cells. And we use a standard procedure for making them to become fat cells as well, with chemicals that induce them to become. So essentially, we're looking at their inherent capacity, not necessarily what would be occurring physiologically.
And what makes you so sure that the changed metabolism is not a genetic, is not caused by a genetic base from mother or father?
Exactly.
And did you have a look at the father's condition? If he was obese too, or not?
So that's what we don't know. We actually don't know whether this is genetic directly from mom or dad, or whether there are fetal programming effects mm-hmm. that are influencing this. So those are kind of part of our next projects. We'll probably have to design some animal research studies to really get at that question, or do much more prolonged studies in humans that would actually really define whether these are just genetic differences or differences based on the environment in which these cells developed. We do know from animal research that similar things have been found in animals independent of genetics, so we hypothesize that it is an environmental exposure, but we don't know for sure in these cells.
So can I just add to that just a little bit? From clinical research in humans, what we do know is that the offsprings of mothers who are born before the mother becomes obese or before she develops diabetes, in fact, have a different outcome than the offspring from the same mother after she develops obesity or diabetes. So that would suggest it's not genetics. And again, in clinical research, the father has no effect on that.
Okay, and they were not diabetes patients, the mothers?
No, we did not include any women who had gestational diabetes.
They don't had impaired glucose tolerance or something?
So,
gestational diabetes?
They did have higher insulin levels, slightly higher in the obese group, but no one had been clinically diagnosed with gestational diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And how many babies were born?
We had 15 from normal weight moms and 14 from obese moms.
Okay. Thank you.
Parker Brown with MedPage Today. You kind of answered this just in that last question, but I'm looking for a sense of the size of the effect. Meaning, I mean, researchers often say that obesity is 50 to 70% genetics. But if this isn't genetics, is it accounting for, like, how predictive, I guess, is the mother's, or how predictive is what you're finding, you know, in the stem cell to be obese? Is it very predictive, or is it just lightly predictive?
The effect size of the relationship between the fat accumulation in the cells and the fat mass of the babies at birth was of a moderate effect size. But really, in these small groups of studies with 15 and 14 subjects, we don't really have enough data to assess the predictive value. I will say that we actually do have cells banked from over 165 infants, and we do hope to follow these studies out in a much larger cohort so that we could potentially identify some predictive value of these cells on what's occurring at birth and as we follow these kids, maybe eventually into their actual disease risk as they age.
There are some epidemiologic studies, again, in humans suggesting that the risk attributable to being born to a mother with diabetes is somewhere in the 40 to 60% range. So it's substantial. And it's actually thought to be, or has been demonstrated to be in epidemiologic studies, to be the single highest risk factor for development of early obesity and diabetes in children. Are there other questions? Are there questions on the phone?
Steve Freed with Diabetes and Control. Did you measure A1C, and was that part of any of the evaluations?
In the mothers, we tested hemoglobin A1C, and there were no differences between the groups.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Boyle, and for journalists in the room for attending. We'll call that the end of the press briefing. Thank you.